an overly broad court order, which the judge can go ahead and render a decision on if he does. Now, I understand it's under advisement, his decision, and you have no idea when that will come down. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, actually, I guess there's nothing you can do at this point but wait for his decision.
Well, Gene had different input and did follow through with it. Gene helped construct a letter asking that if they were given time to rebut, you know, what was done the last day, last afternoon, then couldn't we have equal opportunity to rebut that or to further present evidence? So that's where it laid. There was no answer. There was an objection entered, however, from the opposition attorneys to not allow that.
The policy of the federal court's commander is that if there is no response by the federal court and you respond within the 5 days you requested, that they will accept that as a response.
So... that's where it is. Yeah. I'm just
and you persons are in pro se, so believe me, they're going to give you every opportunity and not shut you out at all.
So that's where we are. It's status report.
I want to thank everybody for the full opportunity that I've had to discuss my position with everybody. This doesn't always happen. I've represented doctors, dentists, physicians, and the Blue Tick Hound Association. And a lot of... Blue Tick Hound Association. And I never had the benefit of such a full and fair discussion, and I much, much appreciate that. The overriding thing that I want to get a point across is my concern for the position of Doris and EJ as two persons that I love very much and I see in a very perilous situation. And it is true that if the judge goes ahead and issues some order, show cause and in re criminal contempt, that he must appoint attorneys to represent you. However, I have found in the last few weeks a few civil cases where if the judge feels of his own that, well, maybe a few days in jail could bring about a turnaround in this person's thinking, that he can put that person in jail for a few days without having to appoint an attorney to represent them as part of his regular contempt proceedings. And that does concern me, and that's where I want to get in every lick that I think that you can get in. We can work out with our attorneys to improve it, get in there to support your position. And if he does make an order that's adverse to your interest, we have increased our chances of an appeal, of a success on an appeal, and of getting a stay. And then at the same time, we can proceed with the common law approach to set aside a lot of the pleadings, to set aside the agreement itself, to attack the fact that Mr. Russell was not the original author. And just by chance, I ran into a patent attorney in Las Vegas on my second or third day over there, sat down with him, ran by the situation, and his immediate response was, Mr. Russell doesn't have a copyright. He was not the original author. Mr. Russell states he wasn't the original author. And if you read the St. Augustine case closely, that case was filed by a man who received from a spirit, but he didn't betray the spirit. He alleged in the copyright that he obtained that he was not the original author, he was a successive assignee person. Mr. Russell didn't make that honest expression to the copyright people when he obtained the copyright. Mr. Russell does not have a proper and valid copyright. And we can attack that in the next proceedings, but not in this contempt action. Eustace wants to say something.
EJ has just received a communication from a leading copyright lawyer in Alexandria, Virginia, who says, another very important thing to remember is that the same information can be put into tangible form by more than one person, and each of those people can independently own copyright in his own expression of the information and can independently register the work. In fact, the point that you have made that Walter Russell is not the original author somewhat invalidates the judge's contempt order, I think.
It's a separate issue, yes. We may be able to attack it on the next thing we file or when we file the appeal.
On the appeal, that's right.
At this particular moment, it is not part of the issue.
Right. And he's not going to consider it as...
Well, I agree there, but it is...
He just wants to deal with the issue.
You have basis for an appeal, that's what I'm saying.
And don't forget, a lot of this can be integrated into Rick Martin's case. So let's not forget the value of these two cases that are now before Judge Coyle.
Commander?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, you've raised a very, very good point there.
Could I just inject a brief note here, Gene?
Go ahead, you get the mic.
Okay, I have the mic. Yeah, just...
not fight over the mic.
just a brief update on the copyright situation. The way the law reads is that you cannot copyright an idea. You only copyright the expression of the idea. So that's consistent with that letter that Eustace just mentioned, but it does not speak to the particular set of exhibits that were presented in this latest suit.
Yeah, what I was going to say now.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
Two cases.
Oh, two cases. Rick Martin. Rick Martin is a key word. The
let's send him to jail.
Here's how they affect each other. If we are successful and win this contempt thing, that is a big plus for the integrity and credibility of Rick Martin. If we lose it, Rick Martin has suffered a loss. So we don't dare let that happen.
Let's file the appeal.
Pardon?
I don't think Gene understands what a value you've got. We've got a kilo.
Oh, I understand the
Aquila
case.
We have a kilo on tape.
Tapes.
Knowing it's recorded, and so several tapes. There's also one in South Africa, and they were going to transcribe it. I don't know. I believe that many of you heard it. Several of you, anyway, because Magnus Penny had talked with Okilo from Johannesburg, and he recorded it, asked Okilo if it was all right, and it was fine with him. He didn't want to make any further comment, particularly on this case. It pained him very much what was taking place here. So they kept their conversations mostly to when he gets to Nigeria, and then he will get in touch with them and so forth. But it does establish a pleasant relationship. And this was within the last 2 weeks. So, as a matter of fact, it was at that time that Okilo said, in fact, he would be leaving the States. He was being... Let's just face it, he was being sent out of the States, and he was to leave very, very early the morning of the 18th. Now, isn't that interesting? They wanted him completely away. They had written an affidavit for him to sign, and because they were so out of time, he had to fax it back. We did receive a copy of that. And it did have his signature. But they told him that it was not going to be valid unless he could get hard copy to that court. And, of course, they were now pleading with the judge to allow them to bring that hard copy original signature in on Tuesday morning. And that didn't happen. This was, I think, Chief Okilo's last effort at thwarting them. He just didn't get it there in time. It doesn't mean that maybe it isn't there in blue ink now. But the point is that Mr. Martin not only has taped literally every conversation, and I think, I don't know, Gene, did you ever talk with him also?
I believe I did, yes.
He's one of the most gracious gentlemen you'll ever, ever meet. And this is very, very painful to him. And the whole thing was painful to him. And Rick did, indeed, transcribe the last tape. So it's there. And they're trying to say, oh, that's just a red herring, you know, the alleged. In other words, Rick Martin is a liar, and you know it, Judge. He's been in here before you. So it's typical.
Well, Mr. Buchanan gets paid for saying things like that,
oh,
Commander.
Yes. Yeah.
And judges overlook that. One thing I'm sure that Eustace doesn't know, maybe Bob James doesn't know, but in this agreement that was signed between the Eckers and USMP, the judge never stopped Dahmer from receiving from the commander. That was, you were given total permission to receive. And as far as I can tell, you were given total permission to write.
Well,
it was only when it went to copy or commercial distribution and used, I think the declarations were adequate in stating that you never had access to any documents to copy from. So that took care of that. The other side has the burden of proof to a clear and convincing burden of proof in a contempt action.
Well, that's right. I accept it. Bigger men than Coyle have tried.
That's where the judge started.
That's exactly where he started.
I have before me clearly and convincing evidence that you have copied this stuff. Mm-hmm. That's where he started.
Yeah, and given what I've got in front of me, I'm going to cite you for contempt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you got to speak up and say, Your Honor, I'm sorry, but you don't have that clear and convincing evidence in front of you.
That's when you object, yes.
That's right.
Well, let's get back to the 50 words. And that's where that's where rehearsal comes in.
Well, in the 50 words, Rick is right. Eustace was speaking of this. If there are 50 words changed in a book, it needs new copyright, and it becomes a new book. So... But I don't think the judge wants to be informed on copyright law.
Well, he needs to be.
Yes, he certainly does. And he's terrified that you're going to do it. So I don't think he really wants to go through with this. We only have to give him an excuse not to. And well, then he knows you're going to come back.
Well, that's why he needs to be informed about these things.
But he also...
That will be his excuse.
He announced his retirement over a year ago, so he is really getting annoyed with this.
Oh, yeah.
Being an ex-janitor, I'd like to get some things cleaned up. And one of the things I'd like to get cleaned up is Ron and court situation, so they know where they're going, what they're going to do. And I think I'll give this thing back to Gene, and let's worry through that until we get it whipped.
I've got a question first.
Just talking with Bob James, and he says the use of all caps for the person's name, for the affiant's name, presents a challenge from a common law perspective. Is there a reason, Gene, why when this was typed up, it was typed up in all caps?
Certainly.
No, no, that's statutory. If the book on Nevada rules of Nevada statute revised procedures sets forth how the type of paper you must use, where you start your wordings, what words are capitalized, what words are not capitalized, it's all part of their procedures. And California has the same thing. Every state has the same procedure.
How has Abbott gotten away with what he's done?
We've brought that to the attention of attorney. It's even worse how Horton has gotten away with what he's done.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, Horton in versus Serendipity Mountain Land and all those corporations there, where the Eckers filed on behalf of those corporations as plaintiff. Horton has, just with contempt of court, substituted and changed the facings of the original file pleadings and refiled under his own caption, replaced himself as a plaintiff for those corporations, and that's contempt of court. And we've asked our attorney, Brad Elliott, to file all contempt of court actions against him for doing that. And so far, he hasn't done it.
If I could. Yeah.
More to the point on this all capitalization, to leave the door open for possible common law jurisdiction down the road, would it be possible to write these names conventionally, or would that just get kicked out?
No, no. Right.
Well, let me interject here, because since I raised this problem, Dave Miller has proved conclusively that all uppercap letter is not proper terminology for common law names. Now, if the statutes say that, the statutes are wrong. And I don't wish to entertain the statutes if they're wrong. If it's a fraud, it's a fraud always. So now let's investigate to see if that's true. If that's true, then we should not use uppercase letters in that name.
Well, wait a minute. Bob, weren't you saying before that they should proceed because it was already in the works?
Yes, but I just read this document.
I understand. But didn't you also tell them that you thought they should proceed, given that you could still go in common law later? See, in other words, they're going in a...
No, what I'm saying is, if, in fact, the statute are wrong in the sense that you use non-negare uppercase letters, why do you defraud the court? Because that's a fraud in front of the court.
Okay, so let me ask Gene.
Let's correct it. If that's wrong, let's correct it. And let them challenge it based on statute law.
Yeah, so what happens, Gene, if we use common law, David Miller type presentation on the paper and not say a word about it and just present it as, not as is, but changing it so it upholds under common law?
The court clerk won't accept it.
Well, if I handwrite a letter, Gene, which is acceptable, irregardless of what they want to accept, and I use upper and lowercase letters in my signature, what are they going to tell me? I have to go back and capitalize it?
Absolutely.
Well, then they're wrong, damn it.
Up until 10 or 12 years ago, we could do things like that, Bob, especially in criminal cases where the incarcerated person was maybe facing the gas chamber in 2 weeks. The attorneys, if they didn't have secretaries or something like that available, we could print out their habeas corpus petition form and get it filed, but that was stopped about 10 years ago. We have to submit about everything in printing and conforming with the caps, punctuation, everything else. It's all laid out.
Okay, they're forcing advocacy law on you, and that's a fraud.
Okay, so it comes right down to the filing of this paper. Is the filing of the paper done under admiralty, or is the filing of the paper done under common law?
It's being done under admiralty right now, but I don't think you should compound the problem by just doing the name if that's a fraud itself.
It seems that you should, the first time, try to run it by the way, common law way. If they say we won't accept this, we demand you do it under admiralty, then that's another thing that can be repealable or appealable or after the fact.
In the federal, so all my federal papers are up in lowercase.
And they haven't kicked them out because of that.
No, they just take them and tell the judge that's the same Rick Martin.
They're irrepressible, Rick Martin.
Well, as I recall, I have made affidavits and had
the irrepressible.
And I have used them often in every case, and those affidavits are accepted on that basis. Now, just because an attorney got a hold of this and made it uppercase doesn't make it real. You know, that I think they're compounding the fraud.
Bob, affidavits and declarations can be hand-drawn or anything you want. They don't have to conform to the requirements of the proper pleading and filing.
That's the answer I want. We'll change it.
That's the affidavit, don't
we? Or declarations.
But not the filing itself.
Not the filing itself. Because a lot of times you're out in the field and you can get a declaration from some farmer or something picking tomatoes. And he can handwrite his declaration, and then that will be attached as an Exhibit A to a properly documented pleading. So that does not have to meet any particular requirements.
Like a will.
Yes, something like a will. So we're back to where we were earlier before we got back, before we got off the track, in terms of court's thing. Is this a case for common law filing, or is it, or are we filing the way Gene said? Now, if we're going to file it according to the way Gene was talking about, Bob, when you were shaking your head no and saying we should
let it go the way it is.
I recognize it as a fraud now. As a U.S. citizen of sovereignty, that's a fraud, and I will not perpetuate a fraud, period.
And how does this bring into, since it's a corporation that's going to be doing the motion?
Well, these are sovereign citizens making a declaration.
That's right.
Well, we're not talking about the declarations. We're talking about the motion or the affidavit or the, what's it called, Gene? The filing itself.
Response. That's our initial pleading.
Initial pleading, right.
These are affidavits of facts going to a court from a sovereign citizen. Period. Yes.
But the affidavits can all, we've already established the affidavits can be in upper, lower case, any mixture. They could be in handwriting.
Yes. So what about?
And because they're a fraud. What is not non-negare? That is a killing of a person on paper in uppercase letters.
Okay, Bob, what I want you to talk about is, are you talking about the affidavits themselves, or are you
talking about that paper right there, yes.
You're talking about the filing.
No, that's the paper. Affidavits.
The paper is what you're going to file.
They're going to file a filing, and they're going to have as
exhibits
the affidavits. The exhibits can be typed in anything or even handwritten, capital or small letter or any way you want. Are you talking about the filing itself?
I'm talking about that paper written in non-negare.
Which paper is that?
The affidavit.
Now, it's true that it's acceptable any which way in admiralty court, but to be valid from a common law perspective, it shouldn't be in all caps. So let's just change it.
Are we talking about the exhibits?
This is the affidavit.
Okay. Yeah, those are the exhibits.
These are the little ways
can
change.
We've already established that the exhibits can be filed any way you want.
In an admiralty court. Okay, now, Bob, we're
no.
just saying that the coverage
in either one.
Kill them off anyway.
The way it's structured, yes. It's an absolute fact.
See, let's find out what we're talking about here.
So if you walked up...
It's very simple. He read it. Here's the error right there.
Okay, let me see it. Wait a minute.
Now this is a sovereign citizen.
Let me could I look at it? Is this the filing, or is that an exhibit?
That's not a filing. That's an affidavit.
This is an affidavit. What will be attached to a set of legal pleadings?
Okay, so the legal pleading is. I'm wanting to talk about the legal pleading. I am not interested in this piece of paper.
That's what the whole issue is right now, Paul. Let's settle this issue.
Okay, Judge Paul.
Now, what I'm saying is this can be put the way you want to.
Right,
upper and lower. That can be put upper or lower, Bob.
Okay.
Now I'm talking about the legal paper that you file with the clerk to which that is attached as an exhibit.
Like
I'm not
this.
Talking about the exhibits.
Let's have that. This thing. This page.
How do we file this?
This page. How can you get...
this is what I'm talking about right
here. Do you think you can get away without... capitalizing these people.
Is that the paper that filed these?
No,
yes. The one that files those will be similar to that, yes.
Let me go get the actual complaint that's being filed.
Okay, here we go.
I came here with black hair.
Well, I came here with gray hair.
What I'm saying is, those exhibits, it doesn't matter which way.
No.
But they should be changed to be proper.
Fine.
Yeah.
But that, what I'm saying is, those don't matter. What matters is this one.
Well, it may be a case where the judge could shoot it down and say it says put those in caps and this is not out, or he might not.
Well, what I'm saying is, see, our question was, we can change this, and that's not going to affect the filing. But if you present the filing, which is the thing Gene's getting in capital, non-capital letters, that's when they're going to turn it down. Or they can't write.
And the problem is, it would delay things when they want to hurry it.
Exactly. Which, the question we were having was, is are we going to file it the way they've got it going? And then learn common law and do it that way? Or are we going to mix the two while we're doing this?
these are sovereign cities, and we're destroying their, killing them.
Sorry for the delay, folks.
Well, see, now, Gene, this is, Commander is gone. I'm on break.
Can we kiss and make up then?
Yeah. As long as you don't let me go to jail. Let's consider. One of the things in this very last letter, and you see this is a common law point, and it's probably not even worth struggling with, but another thing that negates their case is they just, and they very subtly do things, and they don't expect anybody to catch them, and they can get away with it. So they come along and in this rebuttal saying, don't let them respond, because we had the last word. It was our turn, and we did it, and you can't, you know which one I'm talking about.
Right, but you should be tipped off. As soon as they don't want you to do something, that raises a big red flag. You should go ahead and do it.
Oh, I agree. But look what they did. In this case, in this paper, of all papers, they have said US&P versus George Green et al.,
yeah,
which literally in common law negates us, period. We're out. It doesn't, obviously, in Admiralty Court,
no.
Because, yeah. But nobody ever removed his name or any of these other names, and so we're the only one that got hanged with it. And our own fellow defense person provided all the information. So it's great for conspiracy and stuff later, but how do you utilize it now to your benefit? Or do you let it go?
Right now you let it go. And then.
But you use it later.
On the next phase, we hit them with every bullet.
All right. Because I'm willing to put off everything as long as I have to go to jail. Well, I mean, even that for more than a short period of time.
And how short is short?
Very.
Commander, do you really care if Bob's going to serve your time?
But he didn't sound willing.
Well, we got a lot of witnesses.
Hey, Bob? Bob? Here's the paper that will be filed. This is the filing.
And see, it's going to kill all of us. Us sovereign people.
Right.
See?
Now, according to common law, that is not proper.
Mm-mm.
Understood. The question is, are we at this point mixing common law and admiralty in the filing for NCH?
Well, since I know this is a fraud, I wouldn't do it.
Well, see, but do we? Can we come in and begin to try to get a few things in?
Why would you do it this way? Why wouldn't you do it in upper and lower case?
Because it wouldn't be accepted by the clerk.
Yeah, it won't be accepted by the court.
Well, damn it, how come they do it here and he can have his name in property?
That's what I wanted to ask. Well, how is the judge allowed to do that? Put his name in upper and lower.
See, you got upper and lower, or you got all upper case, and he's in proper common law. That's his common law name.
Mm-hmm.
That's because he's smart.
That's the thing that says,
and that's probably exactly the fact.
And I, as the judge, I can do what I want. This is my courtroom. Have you seen my cousin Vinny?
It's never been brought to my attention before, but that's also typed by the attorneys on the other side. But why they type it like that, that's very interesting. And I presume that we'll know in a few weeks once we get into Mr. Miller's work there.
Yeah.
I suggest you...
Merle wants to say something.
They won't do it.
Wally does a lot of suggestion and not very much do it.
I noticed that too.
See,
go ahead, Merle. Just make sure it's up. You're on.
Okay, Wally. May we just
okay,
go
I think one of the confusions here is, and I may be totally wrong. Nobody's listening.
Go ahead, Merle.
I'm listening.
I think that Gene is an attorney.
No.
Okay.
No.
Wait. But you're giving advice as an attorney to Doris and EJ.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Okay, he's not. Okay, fine. Whatever. Could we get through that?
He's
think
not,
that
he's not giving any legal advice.
Just the same as you're a doctor.
Thank you very much. I am.